Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone is doing good today. Well, today we got some of the last known words of John the Baptist here before things became a little rough for him. But he went to be with the Lord, maybe a little bit earlier than he planned. Well, we'll start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today and for this time we get to spend in your word, and help us to see the meaning behind your word, and that we apply it to our lives, and that we are able to use it and understand it in our daily lives. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. So I had the map up here first, and I guess John moved around a little bit because the verses we're going to see today, he was in an area called it's where that pinpoint is, the Salami. I know I'm pronouncing that wrong. I apologize, Lord. But it's also a place called baptizing in Arnon near Salim. And we'll see that here in a second in the verses. But that's the location. You can see it's just south of the Sea of Galilee. Get my notes here. So let's just start, get the verses up here, and we'll start reading. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Now is that area I showed you on the map. That general area is Judea, and that's where Jesus was from. And I did a little bit of checking to see exactly where John the Baptist was from. And so I figured that we knew that back when Mary and Elizabeth were pregnant with both Jesus and John, that they got together. And so they weren't that far apart. I don't think with Mary being pregnant that she traveled very far from Nazareth. It doesn't really pinpoint exactly where he was born, but it was somewhere in this general area, I'm sure. And that may be why he's baptizing in this general area. Now, some things that I found kind of interesting about this particular verse is that he tarried with them and baptized, and some might guess that Jesus actually was the one baptizing. But as we'll see when we get to chapter 4, probably be Monday, I'll just show you here a verse. It indicates that his disciples did the baptizing, not him. And there we go. John 4, 2. Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. So I found this interesting that, so I did a little research to find out if he ever did baptize anyone. And I couldn't find anywhere that Jesus actually physically baptized anyone himself. And the more I thought about it, I was thinking that maybe he did that for a reason. Because I ran into a situation where, you'll notice that there was another time that someone else had trouble with people wanting to be baptized by a certain person. And this was between Paul and Apollos and some people in that area. And over in 1 Corinthians 1:10 through 13, we kind of see this a little bit. And I'll just read it here real quick. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chole, that among you contentions, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, which is Peter, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And so I point that out, and another area. Because I think maybe the reason Jesus didn't baptize himself is that people would use that as an advantage to say, oh, I'm better than you, you know, because I got baptized by Jesus. And I bet you didn't. So I'm thinking that maybe that might be why Jesus didn't do it, that he didn't want to have division among people and try to boast that they got special privilege or something. Just a thought. I can't prove it completely, but something I was thinking about is why Jesus wasn't baptizing himself. So back to John 3:23. This story is mainly about John the Baptist. He was in this same general area. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. This was probably one of the last times that Jesus actually saw John. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. Here he's making reference. This person is asking John the Baptist about Jesus himself, is what I get the gist of here. I realize this is John the Apostle relaying this about John the Baptist. And this would be much later. This particular book, we figure, some scholars figure it was written, actually penned, even though it's about the time that that these events were happening, about 85 AD, probably some 50 years after this actually all happened. Continuing in verse 27, and John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourself bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He's letting people know that don't put a lot of, put your faith in Jesus Christ, not me, not anyone else. And that's why I brought up those other verses, because Paul ran into the same thing, where it seemed like some wanted to try to say that I'm better than you because I was baptized by so-and-so. He did have the bride as the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, and John's kind of saying this about himself, he's a friend of the bridegroom. The bridegroom is Jesus. Which standeth and heareth him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Meaning that now John's got to back off from his testimony and to try to put people to look towards Christ, not him or anyone else. And I think that's an important message here, that we realize that the main character that all these people are witnessing about is Jesus, and we need to set our eyes on him, not anyone in particular. Yeah, I just made a note here to myself, too, that it seems here that it may have been a similar thing, that people were trying to say that John was something better than Jesus, and that these people were questioning his role, and that some probably believed that he might have been the Christ. So he was, again, verifying that he was not the Christ. That he was just foretelling of his coming. So I got another reference here in Matthew that I wanted to bring up about this same subject. Because I saw this again too, where Peter, James, and John, and really John is the one writing this this epistle. And when they went up on the Mountain of Transfiguration, this is what came to mind when I was thinking about this, is that Peter kind of put Moses and Elijah on the same playing level playing field as Jesus, and God Himself actually steps in and says, "But I want to refresh our memories on this." It's in Matthew 17:1, where this takes place. And after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias." And you can see that the other issue, just by saying that, he's putting Jesus at the same basic level, even though it's a raised level, but as Moses and Elias. And it can be dangerous when we try to put anyone above somebody else except Jesus. I think that we all can fall into that trap where we may have a favorite speaker or pastor or other Bible expert that we like, and somehow he becomes the one worshipped, and to remind ourselves to that it's not, they're just messengers of God, that well, we should be always looking to Jesus himself. So now he's back to John 3:31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. So again, reiterating that we should be looking to heaven for our message, and that the rest of us down here on earth are just passing on this message. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man received his testimony. And he hath received his testimony, hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit, but by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Again, I want to reiterate too here that what I said yesterday, for anyone who might be new, that this word believeth and wrath in particular, I want to bring up 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, which talks about what the gospel really is. And so this is what we're supposed to believe, and that, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I have also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. And I think it's an important thing to remember that to believe means that the word believeth means to put our faith in, and to believe that into and our trust in the Lord Jesus himself. And I've always been curious by this word, the Scriptures. So I did a little more research, and there's a bunch of references to what the Scriptures are foretelling the coming of Christ and what he was going to do for us. But one of my favorites is Isaiah 53. So I just wanted to read that as a kind of a final, for today's lesson. So over in Isaiah 53, 1 through 12, is a foretelling of what the scriptures say and what's going to be happening. Again, this is like or at least 300 or 400 years before Christ was even on the earth. So these are things that most Jews knew about. Isaiah was a as we mentioned, that Elias was one of those people that was actually Isaiah, and that he was a prophet, and how he was held in high regard. That's who Peter was referencing up there on the Mount of Transfiguration. And that the one that he was prophesying about is Jesus himself. So I'll read Isaiah 53, 1 through 12. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Some of this is reminiscent of some of the things during his trial before his crucifixion. Verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteousness servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for our transgressions. In other words, he died for us. Took it upon himself to pay the price for what we should have we should have paid for. And I praise the Lord every day that he did that for us, so that we can be sole heirs, and that we can be with him in heaven. So that is the scriptures. It's one of my favorite parts. There's a lot of other passages, and I could list them all about this, but I thought that was the best one to kind of surmise what they mean by the scriptures, that it was foretold that all the way back in Genesis, back when Adam and Eve were deceived, and that God himself at that point made a foregoing, I think it's in Genesis 2, that that this time was going to have to come, that all those years of sacrifice that the Jews did, where they slaughtered a lamb, and it really only extended it for 1 year, their sin. But it wasn't until Jesus died on the cross for us that it was done forever for good, and that the joy to know that he loves us that much. So I can't imagine what he went through. I can't imagine taking on the sin of the entire world for us. So on that note, that's all I have for today. We got a couple of pictures. Again, that was what they meant, that the area they mentioned near the Jordan River. And this particular location is also another place you can get baptized today. This is a more modern picture of that area. And some believe that that cave right there, they found it not that long ago, they uncovered it, may have been the cave that John the Baptist used as his home while he was out there preaching. There's another angle of it. So that's all I had for today. So I'll say a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, these words are so good to hear, that you know that you loved us so much that you sent your only Son to take on our transgressions and our sins, and that you paid the price, Lord, for us. Oh, and I love you and I praise you so much for it. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. I'm going to tear up over that one. So I'll talk to you all later. Again, today's Friday, so I'll talk to you again on Monday personally. But Sunday, don't forget, at 9 o'clock we have Sunday school, 10 o'clock our regular worship service, and at 5 o'clock our evening service. And we'll hope to see you then.